105.5 WGCH, WGCH.com anywhere. We've got the WGCH National News Report on the hour at 8. I'll be back with our top local stories at 8.05. 8.21 this morning, it's our monthly segment with the Greenwich Boy Scouts. WGCH News Center Time, 7.51. Second Thursday of the month means State Representative Stephen Meskers of Greenwich. Good morning, Representative. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Tony. Doing quite well. Thank you.
All right. And on this day of Phase 3 reopening of Connecticut's economy, let's talk a little bit about that with you, as well as the response to the COVID pandemic by this state of Connecticut.
Well, first off, you know, obviously, we're all anxious to get the economy open. We're anxious to see our businesses return to normal life. We're still struggling through the pandemic on the national basis. But here in Connecticut, we've got, you know, tremendous performance. I think we're in the top three states in terms of our outbreak. The governor's executive orders have really done a great job in trying to control the virus, and now hopefully we begin to see the economy reopen and things coming back to normal, although obviously with the unemployment rate, we've still got work to do and more to go.
It's interesting talking about the work the state's done to try to keep the pandemic under control. People are moving to Connecticut, ranked number three behind Vermont and North Dakota for destinations. So I guess that's good, right?
Very good. I can tell you that out there in the campaign this season, I've been canvassing quite a bit, and you see a number of open houses, and when you talk to the real estate agents, you realize that there's been a fairly sizable turnover, and there's a big influx of people into both our homes that were for sale and our rental units. So it looks like we're becoming quite a good destination point. So that's reassuring and helpful to the economy.
What about we had a storm move through yesterday, knocking some power out, and the same day the governor signed the Take Back Our Grid Act, and keeping Eversource, I guess, more accountable.
Yeah, we were up there this past week, I believe, in session, and we voted on that bill to take back the grid, and basically it's going to work to increase the accountability and responsiveness to Eversource or to Eversource for this poor storm outages. So I'm hoping and expecting that we will begin to see better performance from them, and particularly having sat on the First Selectman's Council on the storm review, I think we've made our voices heard, and I expect to see a better performance out of the company going forward.
Get to that in just a second, but for this bill, the big question is, if people are going to get reimbursed for lost food and things like that, where's that money coming from? Is it going to come from the ratepayers, or is it going to come from the shareholders?
Well, that's the big component in the bill. The issue of accountability for Eversource is going to play into their performance, and their performance is going to then impact how the regulatory authority, PURA, reviews their applications for rate increases. If you look at the bill and you look at what we've done so far, we've upped the ante on Eversource and on their performance, and I think we're transferring that risk in terms of poor performance into the equation of how rates are set. So I'm expecting that we will be able to hold the line and eventually look for more effective and better cost of distributed energy with the bill. So I think it's going to raise their accountability, and I expect that burden to fall more on the shareholders and on the management of the company.
Okay, and you mentioned the First Selectman's Commission. I guess they were waiting for this bill to be passed, but what can you tell us about what kind of recommendations you're going to be making as a committee on this here?
Okay, well, in two things, sitting on energy and technology and reviewing their performance, it was clear that they didn't follow the guidelines, in my opinion. There was a lack of coordination of all of the work crews that came into town. I think our town was very frustrated in getting the response of this and their make-safe operations, particularly, in that we found that there were crews that came into town that weren't under the appropriate direction and the coordinated direction between our emergency management team and their headquarters up in Hartford. So we didn't get the responsiveness we wanted. We didn't get the turnaround times we wanted. And I think this bill will address a goodly portion of those complaints.
Okay. Now, but you mentioned you're on the First Selectman's commission.
Yeah, I sat there on the commission, and the biggest complaints we had and the fundamental complaint was that we had crews coming in, and we didn't get the responsiveness, we didn't get the turnaround, we didn't get the make safe, so that we found that the roads were blocked for an inordinate amount of time. We couldn't get the power lines and power turned off so that the Department of Public Works and our work crews could clear the trees and reestablish the power in a safe way. I was out virtually every day talking to both the residents and to the work crews, and it seemed like there was a lack of coordination. And that wasn't on the part of the town. That was clearly on Eversource's plate. They were not responsive in the way I would have hoped for. They sent in a large number of crews, but I wouldn't say the coordinated effort was evident to anyone in town. So we'll be working on improving that coordination, holding them accountable so that they're more responsive to the town for the needs of the town to reestablish service.
All right. What's the state of the state budget?
Well, so far we're walking into a new year, and you hear a lot of complaints and concerns about the pension system, and we've been working in addressing that slowly but surely. I think the most important thing we look at is our liquidity reserve, what we call the rainy day fund. We're currently sitting on a budgetary surplus, or rainy day fund, of about $3.1 billion, which is a historic level. That's about 15% of our operating budget. So, you know, we've got long-term issues on liabilities with the pension plan, but when you look at the short-term liquidity provisions, we're one of the top five states in the country with our liquidity provisions. So now we need to manage and marshal and shepherd that liquidity reserve as we, you know, deal with the after impacts of the pandemic, some of the loss of tax revenue, et cetera. So we're going to need to make that rainy day fund last for the next 2-3 years so that we can continue the state services and at the same time maintain the quality of life that all the residents demand.
All right, State Representative Stephen Meskers, thanks as always for your time. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you much.
State Representative Stephen Meskers joins us second Thursday of the month. Next Thursday, third Thursday, will be State Senator Alexandra Kasser.